Okay, so the let's just start with this Gemara, which will set up what we want to try to achieve tonight. Amar Reish Lakish. This is the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf and Chaf Aleph, and it's probably the critical Gemara about the final statement on Shlomo HaMelech's career. B'tchilash Malach Shlomo al ha'ilyonim shenamar vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem. So Shlomo began his career as more than just a human monarch. Chazal are saying here, Reish Lakish is saying, is that Shlomo, being David's son, being the person who was destined to be not just the continuation of Malchus Beis David, but the climax of Malchus Beis David, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Malach al ha'elyonim, you know, that it's as if he's the king, not just in the human sphere, but something beyond that. Ulevasof malach al ha'tachtonim, but then his stature was diminished, and he was only king over the world. Levasof lo malach el al Yisrael. Then his stature was diminished a second time. He was only the king of Israel. Shenemar ani koheles hayisi melech al Yisrael. Levasof lo malach el al Yerushalayim. His stature was reduced yet a third time. He was only the king of Yerushalayim. Shenemar divrei koheles ben David melech Yerushalayim. Levasof lo malach el al mitaso. And the fourth reduction, he was only the king over his own bed. Shenemar hinemi tato shali shlomo shishim giborim savivla pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Livasof, a fifth reduction, lo malach ela al maklo, he was only the king over his own staff. Shenemar pasuk in Koheles, zehaya chalki mikol amali Rabbi Shmuel chad amar maklo, one of them says it was his staff. V'chad amar gundo, that it was like a cloak of his. But be that as it may, this remarkable deterioration from Malach al Halyonim to Malach al Tachtonim to Malach al Yisrael to Malach al Yerushalayim to Mitaso to Maklo, Chadomer is a Maklo, Chadomer is a Gundo. What happened? So that's exactly what we're going to try to pin down tonight. Hadar o lo hadar? Did Shlomo ever reclaim his glory of yesteryear? Rabbi Shmuel, Charamar hadar v'charamar lo hadar. To machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Man d'amar lo hadar, melech v'hedyot. That Shlomo started his career off as a king, and then he was just a hedyot. It's a terrible thing, but if you read Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, you see that Shlomo HaMelech gets caught up in all kinds of things. And, you know, the higher they are, the harder they fall. Man d'amar hadar, then there's a more optimistic view. Melech hedyot umelech, that Shlomo HaMelech was able to reclaim a bit of his former glory. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Now this is the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, a continuation of the previous Gemara. Mipnei malo nizgalu tamei Torah. Why is the Torah generally concealed the reasons for mitzvos? Again, this line in the Gemara makes it sound like there are reasons for mitzvos, but the Torah deliberately concealed them. So why? Sharei shtei mikros nizgalu ta'aman nichshol bahen gadol ha'olam. The Torah revealed its rationale with respect to two of the mitzvos, and it caused major problems. Ksiv, for example, the pasuk says lo yar belo nashim. The king can only have a maximum of 18 wives. No, it doesn't sound like, you know, such a restrictive thing, but that's what the Torah says. Lo yar belo nashim. Amar Shlomo, aniar bevelo asur. I'll, you know, cross the speed limit, and it won't have any impact on me. I'm Shlomo HaMelech. I'm the Gadol HaOlam. I'm, you know, Hachi Chacham. Uksiv, Ayihila Eis Zikna Shlomo Nashav Hituis Levavo. And that's exactly the term that the Navi uses to describe what happened to Shlomo. Moreover, Uksiv Lo Yar Belo Susim. He's only allowed to have enough Susim that he needs for his armed services, Kedei Merkavto. But he's not allowed to have, you know, for his own vanity or glory. Amar Shlomo ani arbev lo ashiv. I'm gonna have a very prodigious number of horses, and it won't lead me to go back to what was then the horse trading center of the world, Mitzrayim. Uksiv atetze merkava mi Mitzrayim, and that's exactly what transpired. So again, Shlomo, right. His failure, what the Gemara is saying, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, is that his failure was one of intellectual immodesty, arrogance, And this costs Shlomo dearly, especially according to the Mandam Bar Melech Vehedot, that he never reclaimed his previous glory. And even according to the one who says that he did, it was still a very, very long road back. So let's take a look at the Pesukim in Mishlei that we'll cover tonight. We'll just first quickly review what we saw last week and see how this is something that Shlomo HaMelech, it wasn't as if he was unaware of the potential for this problem. What makes Shlomo's life tragic in that regard is that he saw it coming and yet he couldn't get out of the way. Sort of kind of train wreck. But that the Pesukim we'll read tonight in Mishlei underscore precisely this point about over-reliance on one's intellectual / spiritual capacity in a way that's extremely damaging. Okay, so Bini Tarasi al Tishkach mitzvosa yitzar li becha, as we spoke about last week. My son, do not forget my Torah and the mitzvos, my mitzvos you should guard in your heart. And we spoke about how that's a sequential process, is that first Tarasi al Tishkach and then mitzvosa yitzar li becha. Ki orach yamim b'shnos chayim v'shalom yosifu lach. It will bring you orach yamim, shnos chayim, shalom. We spoke about last week that of course it'll bring you shalom because the very soul of Torah, so to speak, the neshama of Torah is shalom. That's how we know, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, because if they're really Talmidei Chachamim, so then their whole lives is spent in the pursuit and practice of shalom, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Chanukah. The essence of the mitzvos of the Torah is to create shalom ba'olam. So, chesed ve'emes al yazvucha, kashreim al gargarosecha, if you tie them to your speech, kasvei maluach libecha, umtzachen v'seichel tov b'nei Elohim v'adam. That will allow you to find chen and seichel tov in both the eyes of God and man. Okay, so that's where we had left things off. So, in this context of holding fast in every which way to the Torah and the mitzvos, so Shlomo sounds the following part warning and part mandate. Ptachel Hashem b'chol libcha, trust in Hashem with all of your heart, b'chol libecha rather, excuse me, ve'el binascha al tisha'in, and in your own bina, in your own wisdom, do not tisha'in is to lean upon or rely. So trust in God with your whole heart and don't be over-reliant on your own wisdom. It's really interesting because, again, in Sefer Mishlei, the whole point is lahavin imrei vina. We're trying to develop our spiritual instincts. We're trying to develop our incisive perspective on the world. And yet, there's this cautionary note that el binascha al tishein, part of the wisdom is not to be over-reliant on one's own abilities. And on the contrary, b'tachal Hashem b'chol libecha. Rabbeinu Yonah makes this point. He says there are people who, if you ask them, they'll tell you they believe in God in every sense of the term. But in terms of really applying that on the micro level, it's very hard. B'tachal Hashem b'chol libecha. Bechol drachecha da'ehu, see God in all of your earthly ways, v'hu yiyasher orchosecha, and that's the path to success in life, then God will straighten your path. But only if you have bitachon bechol lev, and you see God, you know that God has the capacity to be involved with kol drachecha. There's a total commitment here. Now, just to take one commentary on this, just to, because I think this is in the direction of the pshat. The Marsha, commenting on a Gemara in Brachos that we'll take a look at in a minute, the Marsha says, Lo tomar zachreihu. It doesn't say, Bechol drachecha zachreihu. It says, Do'ehu. Yediya amitis b'mitziuso. Clear truthful knowledge of God's reality. In particular, Vishahu Yachol Umashkiach Bechol Drachecha, that God observes, but not passively, actively, all of your every second in life, what we're doing right now, what we're going to be doing after the shiur, what we're going to be doing before we go to sleep, what we're going to be doing tomorrow morning, shehu yachol mashgiach b'chol drachacha, laseis schar tov latzadikim, ula'anosh rishaim, that God is, right, dalifnei mi'ata omeid, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Umisayim, and then the pasuk concludes, Vehu yiyasher or chosecha, and then God will literally straighten your path. As Chazal say, Biderech she'adam rotze leilech molichin oso, right? That if a person demonstrates that he really wants to serve God in every which way he can, and recognize God's authority in all walks of life, then Hashem will facilitate that. Habali tayir misayin osel. I'm quoting from various sources in Chazal. Okay, so that's then the pshat. Going back to the two last psukim that we'll take a look at today, very much within the same theme. Al tihi chacham be'inecha. Don't be. What's a chacham be'inecha?
Smart.
Exactly. All right. Excellent, Jessica. Yira'as Hashem, rather have awe of God, v'sur me'ra, and that will allow you to, sur me'ra, avoid spiritual failure. So again, the danger here is chacham be'inecha, it's being overly reliant, el binascha al tisha'ein, it's the same idea. Rifus tihila sharecha. Rifus from the language of rifu'ah. They will be therapeutic for your sharecha, means your core, that they call it today, your abdomen. Vishikoi la'atmosecha, and they will be a source of nourishing, like marrow, to your bones. They'll be like marrow to your bones. In the thought of Kabbalah, just we're not going to get so far into this, and I'm hardly an expert in it. Rifus tila sharecha v'shikoy latzmosech is like a critical pasuk in terms of the fact that divrei Torah are actually, that following the mitzvahs is actually, in a very visceral sense, therapeutic towards one's health. Like performance of the mitzvahs, each mitzvah corresponds to a different part of the body. Talmud Torah can help each part of the body, but it's this very physical. But again, even without that perspective, which is certainly a valuable perspective to be aware of, without taking it that far, rifos tihila sharecha v'shikoy la'atzmosecha, in other words, don't think that somehow you're going to be better off, you're going to get the better end of the deal by, you know, relying on your own judgment and wisdom. The best you can do for yourself is to, as we said last week, you know, hold fast. Kashrei mal gargarosecha, kasvei maluach libecha, b'tacha l'Hashem, b'chol libecha, al tihi chacham be'enecha, Yira'as Hashem. This is from a purely self-serving point of view. You'll be better off in this direction. Not just that it's right and that it's enriching, etc., but that even from a purely pragmatic standpoint. Okay. So what I want to try to develop is especially the pasuk of, you see, B'tachal Hashem b'chol libecha v'al binascha al tisha'ein al tihichacham b'inecha. Don't be overly reliant on your own insight and wisdom, like, you know, famous last words, right? I mean, Shlomo saw it coming. So, you know, you can't read these psukim. It's criminal to read these psukim without reflecting a little bit on, you know, you can say this, and you can say this, and you can say this, but the important thing is to do this and to live this. So what I want to try to develop tonight mostly, though, is this pasuk of B'chol drachacha da'ehu v'hu yasher or chosecha. It's a very oft-quoted pasuk. I'm not sure how often it's quoted in the sense that many understood it, but what exactly does it mean? So if you take a look here at the Gemara in Brachos, Samach Gimel, Darash Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara offered this drasha, a homily. Ezohi Parsha Ketana, a little Parsha Ketana, just a pasuk, really. Shekol Gufei Torah Tulyin Ba. What's so, like, you know, Rabbi Kiva says, "V'hafta l'reicha kamocha zakal gadol b'Torah." So Bar Kapara is saying something similar. Kol gufei Torah tliyin ba. This is the whole thing. What is the pasuk? Bechol derachecha da'ehu v'hu yasher or chosach. Know God on all of your paths in life, and He will straighten out, you know, your path in life. It's like, you know, tell somebody, you know, I know it feels like you don't know what you're doing, but, you know, start off and it'll work itself. You do your best and God will hopefully be miyasher, that which we feel left to our own devices would come out crooked. So Rava says something quite astonishing. Amar Rava, afilu ledvar aveira, even if you're going to do an aveira, make sure to know Hashem. So there's, the way that this is quoted in the Ein Yaakov, as is pointed out by many of the Mefarshim, is that ganva apischa de machtarta, when the ganav is about to commit a robbery, he also davens that Hashem should make him successful. And from the one point of view, that's abhorrent. This person be so selfish, he's about to take advantage of another person in such a violating way. It's really abhorrent. But at the same time, right, the idea that he feels that no part of life is disconnected from God. I need siyata d'shmaya in my workplace also. In my workplace, I rob people. If the rabbi said I have to daven for parnasa, that means I have to daven the robbery should be successful. So, right, we see the absurdity of it from one point of view, but on the other point of view, right, it reflects what it means to have a sense of Malchus Shamayim. So, obviously, that's an absurdity. We're not telling people that that's like an acceptable lifestyle. Far from it. But minimally, right, the idea that one shouldn't have the fantasy that God is, you know, not observing. And that there are areas of life, small or large, where God is, you know, a dispassionate, you know, removed, he's watching the channel, and he says, I'm going to flip to somebody else's life, it's going to be more interesting, I'm not even going to do the split screen, you know, we're not even going to DVR this is just, you know, it's a rerun, I've seen him make that mistake already.
When you say know Hashem, you mean that just recognizing that He's like Melech over everything?
It's a good question. So, that is probably the way I've used it up until now. I should have specified that. It's a good point, Jessica. I think when we, especially when we get to the Rambam, we'll see that it has a much more specific connotation. But certainly that's how the Maharsha understood it. So Rashi here says something really interesting. Bechol drachecha, afilu lavor aveira, even if you're going to do an aveira, da'ehu, tein lev, im tzorech mitzvahu. What do you mean? Kimo Eliyahu, behara karmel, avor aleha. This very wild concept called the hora'as sha'a. It sounds like, you know, only an Eliyahu HaNavi can do this. This really isn't for the rest of us, but that you know, there's a Gemara in Gitnan Daf Samach where it's, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sarasecha, that the Torah Shabal Peh was not supposed to be written down. Dvarim Shabal Peh Yafshai Atarashai Lichtov Osan, right? That you're not supposed to write them down, but Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saw that the Torah would be lost. That's how we have the Mishnah. But, you know, Rashi seems to understand that this, again, is, you know, broader. At least potentially broader, that it's not just in those restricted cases, but that if a person sees that over the long term an aveira is letzorech hamitzvah, so then afilu lavor aveira, you should, you know, calculate what will serve God best. I'm not recommending that we try this at home. I doubt that Rashi himself would. Pretty sure of that. But this idea, anyway, that Rashi is giving some kind of a voice to, is that whatever a person does in this world, afilu lavor aveira, whatever a person does should be with a sense of awareness of how can this be channeled in a positive spiritual direction. So what I would say is, from this Rashi, from the extremes of this Rashi, right, certainly we can learn two things. Number one, kal vachomer, when a person is doing something neutral, it's neither a mitzvah or an aveira, but one should have in mind to try to channel it in a positive spiritual direction. That's That's clear. So if a person is going to play sports, right, there's no mitzvah to get one. There's a mitzvah to exercise shmartim bodem nafsho sechem, to stay healthy. But let's say a person wants to get that exercise by playing cricket. Okay, I don't know anybody who does that personally, but let's say that's somebody's choice. They should try to play in such a way that's mekadesh shem shamayim with whoever they're playing with. If you're playing cricket, you have a pretty good chance at that, right? You know, try to win people over to, you know, more greater sympathy towards Jews and Israel. You know, it's a special thing. So whatever one is doing, dvarim shebirshus, one should certainly maximize. It's how we talk to people. It's how we look at people. It's how much we make an effort to be kind to people in whatever dvarim shel rishus that we're doing. That's number one. But the second thing I would say is that, let's say a person feels that we never have license to perform an avera. And that's certainly not what I'm saying. But if a person feels that they have a certain spiritual shortcoming and that they wish they could do better in a particular area, A, B, or C, so the spirit of this Rashi, b'chol drachacha da'ehu, rava amar afilu b'dvar avera, means that one, even as one feels very strongly that one could be doing better, that one's sense should be that if I'm doing this now, let me not be satisfied with that. There should be a constant sense of trying very earnestly. I don't mean that a person should cynically say, it's okay, I'll do this now because I want to be in a better place tomorrow. I really don't mean that. But that even if a person is at the precipice of doing an avera and they feel that they're unable to correct it now, we should still have, not in a cynical way, but still have in a very sincere way, a desire to do better. It's like, I know people, you know, Jewish guilt gets a bad rap, you know, like, oh, you know, out there. But on the contrary, it's a very healthy thing that we should feel. We shouldn't pretend to ourselves that it's not a big deal. We shouldn't pretend to ourselves that God is disinterested. On the contrary, we should cultivate within ourselves a sense of, even if we're not where we would like to be, we're not burying our head, so to speak, in the sand, and trying to channel. Even that is a very, you know, sound Chabad for a second, but I think even that is a very holy thing. If a person really, you know, has that sense that even that little broken heart that a person might have, b'chol drachecha da'ehu, even if that derech is not an appropriate derech, that you should always be mivakesh Hashem b'chol drachecha da'ehu, in a sense that the ideal that we all aspire to in our own halting way, is with setbacks and bumps, is to really be very aware, as Jessica says, of Hashem's malchus, and to behave in accordance with that, you know, not just most of the time, but 24/7. You know, it's a very tall order, but that's what we're looking for. Now, I want to just shift gears to finish off B'chol drachecha da'ehu with a very lengthy presentation from the Rambam. Now, this is practically all of the third parak of Hilchos Deos. This is probably the most famous post-rabbinic usage of this pasuk, where the Rambam finishes off a very seminal parak in the Mishneh Torah, really, I think, a defining parak in terms of the Rambam's general approach to life, with the pasuk, B'chol drachecha da'ehu. And there, Jessica, it takes on a very distinct, precise meaning. Okay, here we go. Anybody want to read a paragraph? Just have the special privilege of reading this a section of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos.
No, I'm still
reading. You've been volunteered.
Okay. I'm happy to.
Okay. Shema Yomar Adam, lest the person will say.
Shema Yomar Adam, Hoil, Beha Kina, Beha Tava, Beha Kavod, Vechayotse, Bahem, Derech Ra'ahain.
Okay, since a person could easily say, and it's true, and quoting from Perek Avos, that that jealousy and carnal desire and the pursuit of, you know, earthly kavod, again, you know, these things seem small and yet they captivate us so easily, since they're a derech ra'ah. And as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, motzina sa'adam mina olam, since that's the case, what should I do?
Efrosh mehen bioser ve'esrachek litzad ha'acharon.
I'm going to run completely in the opposite direction.
Ad shelo yochal basar ve'lo yishta yayin.
So to rid myself of any taiva, I won't consume any basar or yayin.
Lo yisa isha,
I won't engage in marital life.
Yishev bedira na'eh ve'lo yilbash malbush na'eh ela hasak.
I'm going to wear, you know, coarse clothes and be a complete ascetic. Kigon kohane ha'ovde kochavim, as many of the idolatrous priests do. Right. So when I put here in the little note that it's a critique of ascetics, I don't mean it's a critique, you know, in some... He's saying it's asur. This is prohibited. This is absolutely prohibited to live this way. You're a sinner if you do this. And again, the nazir was only from one area, right? Wine products. And yet, he requires kapara. So, Amru chachami, mayim nazir shelo pirei shalamin hayayin sarach kapara. It's certainly somebody who's withdrawn from the whole world, essentially. Okay, lefichach, therefore.
Lefichach tzavu chachamim.
It's a tzivoy, again, normative, tzivoy.
Shelo yimna adam atzmo, ela me dvarim shem mina oso hatzra buvad.
Yeah.
Velo yehe asur atzmo. Benedarim ubishvuos al dvarim hamutarim.
Right. Kach amru chachamim.
Lo
dayecha masha asra Torah. It wasn't enough for you that the Torah prohibited certain things? Ela sha'ata osar alecha dvarim achirim. Right? That you have to go and make your own isurim?
Ubechal haza al elu shem misanin tamid enan bederach tova.
Right. It's prohibited that a person should afflict himself with unnecessary fasts. Okay, so here the Rambam is taking a very strong position in favor of a balanced approach. Okay, so that's point number one. So now the Rambam says, if this is what you ought not to do, then what should one do, rather? Okay. So now, do you have the koach to continue a little bit? Okay.
Tzarech ha'adam she'chavin libo.
So this is tzarech ha'adam. This is what you must do.
V'chol ma'asav kulam ledas Hashem baruch hu bilvad.
The singular point of life is ledas Hashem baruch hu bilvad. To come to a deep understanding, as deep as we possibly can, of God. Now, the primary activities for that, of course, are first and foremost, study of Torah. Second, performance of the mitzvos. Of course, study Torah is one of those as well. But it's really an entire approach. The Rambam, philosophy plays into that. Science, cosmology, all of that is Yediyas Hashem. And therefore, what about things that are not obviously part of the agenda? This is very important. If you haven't yet seen this Rambam, then this is, as I say, a defining Rambam. That for the Rambam, all of life is unified. There's only one goal in life. Everything is a detail. Everything else is a tactic. There's only one strategy. The strategy is to know God. So when you get up, and when you go to sleep, and when you speak, it's all about this. Ketzad. So what do I mean? The Rambam says. Right. You say, I'm at work. What do you mean, Yediyas Hashem? I'm at work. You know, it's not that exciting, Rambam.
Lo yihye b'libo lekbots mi
mamon.
Amon bilvad ela ya'aseh dvarim ha'elu kedei sheyimtza dvarim she'aguf tzarech lahem me'achila u'shisiyah v'yeshivas bayis u'nisiyas isha.
Right, you're not doing these things to arrogate money or wealth for its own sake, but rather dvarim shehaguf tzarech lahem. You're doing things that are necessary to fuel the engine. And likewise, he explains, v'chein sheyochal v'yishteh v'yivol, when you drink and you eat and you engage in conjugal activity, lo yasim belibo lasos dvarim ha'elu kedei lehanos bilvad. You're not doing it for the aesthetic, carnal pleasure alone. Ad shenimtza she'eno ochal v'shosa ela masok l'cheich v'yivol kedei lehanos, so that one will eat what one enjoys and one will have relations for the purpose of enjoyment. Ela yasim alibo sheyochal v'yishteh kedei lahavros gufo ve'evarav bilvad. Your singular focus should be yasim alibo, that you're eating and drinking so that you'll have a strong body. Not so you have a strong body so you can become the cover person on GQ, but lefikach lo yochal kol she'achich mis'aveh kekelev v'chamor. Don't be like a donkey or a dog that eats, you know, things that are taste good to the donkey or dog. Ela yochal dvarim hamo'ilim laguf imari mesukim. We should eat, you know, things irrespective of their taste, as long as they're healthy. Lo yochal dvarim harayim laguf aval pi shehem mesukim lechech. Shouldn't eat unhealthy things, even if they taste good. So that what? Shenimtza shosa ve'ochal derech refua bilvad kedei sheyavri v'yamod shalem. So that you should be very healthy and strong. Since eating and drinking is as God designed the world necessary to live. Conjugal activity, one's intention should be for health of body and for procreation of the species. It's not a question of what is my carnal desire. One eats and drinks, one has conjugal activity on the basis of, is this necessary for life? And again, life is, why is life important? Life is important so we can come to know Hashem. So everything that one does, not just the obvious things, Torah and mitzvos and chesed, but everything that one does, even the most physical activities, are purely instruments in terms of keeping one's body healthy and one's mind sound so that one can come to know God. Again, it's a completely unified perspective on life. Now, here we come, Noam, to the coup de grace. This is the famous section. That's a part of the Rambam that just lays the foundation. Now, Noam will do the honors. Hamanig atzmo al pi rafua, a person who follows my instructions, who follows my, you know, spiritual medical instructions.
In sam al libo sheyeh chol gufo ve'evarav shlemim bilvad u'sheyihyu lo banim osin melachto ve'amelin letzercho en zo derech tova.
So it's not good if his intention is, you know, for a healthy body and a successful family alone, on its own terms. But why should he want a successful family life? Why should he want a healthy body? Ella
yasim al libo sheyehe gufo shalem v'chazek v'chazak kedei shetiyah nafsho yishara v'adaz es Hashem.
Because that's the only way that you can, right, those are all the prerequisites with which one can aspire to the real and only point of life, namely knowledge of God.
She'efshar l'sheyavin v'yistakel v'chachamos v'hu rav v'chola o'acha d'me'eva rav koev v'yasim al libo she'ye lo ben
ulai
yechacham v'gadol.
Right, because what's the purpose of having a strong body? Because if you're tired or hungry or sleepy or cold, it's very hard to focus your mind. And likewise, if one doesn't, you know, pass on one's genetic material, you know, procreate, then what's going to be with the next generation, right? Then nobody will be able to be Yodeh Hashem. So it's all part of the system. It's this 24/7 program. This, like, makes the P90X look like nothing. You know, that it's a completely focused system, unified theory of human activity. Okay, nimtza hamahalech b'derech zol kol yamav oved es Hashem tamid. He doesn't mean that rhetorically. Like, oh, you know, Oved es Hashem tamid, I'm always... No, but that's what he means, is that everything that you do is for Avodas Hashem. Okay. Go ahead, Noam. Afilu
b'shah...
Why do you earn a living? You earn a living so you can stay alive. Why do you stay alive?
Afilu b'shah asha boel.
And that's why you engage in conjugal activity.
B'pnei shamach shavto b'chol...
Even when you're sleeping, this is important. Yeah, this is bothering the Rambam. Well, what about sleep? You have to be able to get him on sleep.
Okay, so
even sleep, if you're sleeping so that one can have energy to focus one's mind and one's body the next day, so then it's a, right, so why do I charge my phone? I charge my phone to be able to, you know, use my phone. So we all, right, unfortunately, right, like smartphones, our batteries are short and they are quickly depleted. You know, so that's why we sleep. Ve'al inyan zeh sivu chacham, and this is what the Mishnah in Perkei Avos means when it says, v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. And now, do the honors, Noam, as your wife wanted to know. What does it really mean, da'ehu, this the question of the night? And in a pasuk, this is what the Rambam is doing with that Gemara in Brachos. Kol gufei Torah tulyim, by this way he understands the Gemara, is that everything that one does, b'chol drachacha da'ehu, is only for the sole purpose of da'ehu, of knowing Hashem. So some people say, and this is what I was alluding to a little bit earlier when people misuse this pasuk, it's like, oh, I can do whatever I want, b'chol drachacha da'ehu, you can know God through any activity. The Rambam is saying the opposite, is that knowledge of God is the only thing that matters. And everything else that we do is purely instrumental towards that. So yes, you need to sleep. Yes, you need to earn a living. Yes, you need to eat. But do all these things with... Don't take one step in the wrong direction. Stop eating, you know, bad food. So it's not going to give you energy and it's going to make you unhealthy. And you're risking, God forbid, you know, taking years off your life or hours off your day, you know, for Yedias Hashem. That's an inexcusable, you know... penalties. It's not like a local... Again, every infraction is not a local infraction. It's an infraction against the big project. There's a big project, which is Yedias Hashem. So a person doesn't make enough time to study Torah. So you could say, oh, okay, so that's a... Okay, so it's a Talmud Torah issue. That's not the Rambam's point of view. The Rambam's point of view is, well, that's a really... You're undermining the system, because what are you eating for then? What are you sleeping for? The only reason that those things are important, again, if you're using your time, the Rambam wrote in a tshuva. It's crazy. After his brother died in a shipwreck, so the Rambam needed to really, he had no other source of income. So he says he worked all day. He came home at night. He was exhausted from working all day in the, you know, his, the king's, the sultan's harem, essentially. And people would be lined up out the door to ask him questions. He said he has to take the questions lying down because he has no energy. So he would lie on the ground and answer people's silence. And, you know, he would, like, sleep an hour a night. And, you know, when is he learning? It's just unbelievable. But for the Rambam, right, that's still Oved es Hashem Tamid, as, you know, extreme as that sounds, you know. It's frightening to read about his schedule. Because everything was with a solitary focus. So what I think is really... I would say mesmerizing. I think mesmerizing is the right word. Again, mesmerizing about this Rambam is the Rambam's... It's the organization of his mind and his presentation. The Rambam is able to say, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this room. The Chumash... and the Shulchan Aruch, and there's the Rambams, and the Gemara, and there's philosophy. But it's all one. And to be able to clearly articulate how if we focus properly, life should not feel helter-skelter, but it should feel, and it can be, very, very, very focused. It's saying, you know, mashallah mahadavar doma, if you have a person who's trying to drive from here to Boston, so if you ask the person what they did, it would be strange if the person said, well, I made four lefts, I did signal a number of times to change lanes, there's a rest stop where they parked the car. Then I restarted the car. I took the keys with me, by the way. You'd say, no, I drove to Boston. There was one goal. There were many, many, many hundreds and thousands of things that happened along the way, that the door was opened, you got into the car, there was the seatbelt on, drive. So that's the Rambam is saying, that's life. Life has many, many, many thousands and millions of different situations and applications, but there's only one thing going on, and that's Yediyas Hashem. And the way that we are Yodea Hashem, by taking care of, making sure we need to take care of ourselves, so that we're in a position to do that. Now, what is the actual, what qualifies as Yediyas Hashem? So for the Rambam, the greatest emphasis is on Talmud Torah and the highest levels of Torah, which really have to do with recognizing God's proper emunos, essentially, for the Rambam, Yud Gimel Ikarim. But there are other ways of Yediyas Hashem that the Rambam certainly subscribes to. When one does chesed, that's v'halach the bedracha, then we become closer to God. When one davens, etc., etc. So those are all the ends, so to speak. But all of the mitzvos do collapse into Yediyas Hashem. It's not like, keeping the mitzvos of kashrus and the mitzvos of Shabbos and Talmud Torah and Kibbud Avim don't, coalesce. Of course they do. So that's why, it has to be a very, that's the Parsha Ketana Shekol Gufei Torah Tzuyim, but that's the way Rambam understood the Gemara, is that everything boils down to this point. Okay, so just to summarize what we saw today, the first point in these psukim is a painful realization, right? Shlomo HaMelech is saying, El Binascha Al Tisha'ein, Al Tichacham Be'enecha, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin is that Shlomo said, he was above it. The need for intellectual modesty is so powerful in that regard. That's really the first point. The second point, Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu V'hu Yasher Or Chosecha, Kipshuto means that instead of saying, I'm going to rely on my own insight, on my own wisdom, on my own, extremely valuable contribution, Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, try to see God, the Marisha says, in every which way, in all of your paths in life, to realize that God is present, God's authority is there, and that has to dictate our course of action, not what I think is the, intuitively the best thing to do. Should have said this at the beginning, but Rabbi Yitzchak Tursky always said that was the first sin in the Torah and the primordial sin in the Torah. Vateira ha'isha ki tov ha'etz the machal. She said, I get to decide what's tov. The whole Parshas Bereishis is vayar lokim ki tov, vayar lokim ki tov, vayar lokim ki tov. Tov Ma'od, and then she says, no, I get to decide what's Tov. So that's along the same lines, is that El Binas Chal Tishain Al Tichacham Beinecha, don't arrogate to yourself the right to choose what, as Yiras Hashem Visur Meira. Okay. Then we spoke at length about the Gemara. The Gemara says, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu V'hu Yashar Orchosecha. That's the critical line of Jewish life. And Rava says, Afilu Dvar Avera. So what Rashi has to say about Amar Rava, Afilu Dvar Avera, that means, like, even in the case of Ahura Asha, Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, we spoke a little bit about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So in these extreme situations where maybe even an Avera is necessary for the broader project of mitzvahs, Eis Lasos Lashem, Eferes Arsecha. So that's not relevant for most of us. We don't have any license. We're not, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. We're not Eliyahu Hanavi. We don't have the license to. But what does it really mean for us, Afilu Dvar Averas? Just suggested two things, which is that, number one, you could draw a Kal Vachomer for Dvar Mishal Rishus, that certainly if it's not a Dvar Avera, we should always try to channel whatever actions we're involved in If they're not inherently spiritually mandated, they're not Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, but they're Dvarim Shel Mishus, they should be done in a way that's most consistent with the values of mitzvos. Number one. Number two is that afilu b'dvar aveira, when a person is, you know, unfortunately falling short, it's very important that at that time a person not, you know, have the cognitive dissonance and say, oh, well, what does it really matter anyway? It's very important to maintain b'chol drachecha afilu b'dvar aveira da'ehu, and know that this is something that you can and should and hopefully will do better at, and don't be so overwhelmed by the guilt so as to deny it altogether. Okay, that was before the Rambam. Then the Rambam we read about b'chol drachecha da'ehu v'hu yasher achosecha b'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, that everything we do, especially maintaining our physical reality, achila, shesia, be'ila, all of those things are really instruments for yediyas Hashem. And b'chol drachecha, every second of the day, 24/7, 365, every day, every minute, every hour, every second of your life is really for the sole purpose of yediyas Hashem. And so there is no activity that one goes to the bank and one you know buys a shovel and one gets a coat. All of these things, getting a coat so I don't catch a cold. I don't want a cold because if I'm a cold, I can't go to work. If I can't go to work, I can't earn a living. If I can't earn a living, then I won't be ever able to come close to Hashem. So that it may take a number of steps. Depending if you're Talmud Torah, doing Chesed, davening, it's only one step, the activity itself. But there are many things that this is the way, if God wanted a world where all we had to do is study Torah, he would have started us all off in Olam Haba. That's what the Malachim do. But Olam Hazeh means that we have many, many, many challenges that require us to take. That's part of the point of being in Olam Hazeh, is to see if we can still, like I like to say, connect the dots and ask, not get distracted, but say, why am I doing this? And we should be, and even if it's eight steps, I'm doing this because, hopefully it's not that many. Hopefully most of our activities are one or two steps removed. But we should still be able to minimally explain to ourselves why we're doing what I'm doing, what we're doing. You know, and that for the Rambam goes for sleep as well. And even if it means we're going to try again tomorrow because, you know, we, you know, squeezed every last ounce of today out, you know, and that should be our perspective. So you say, I gotta, you know, call it a day because, you know, tomorrow I've got, you know, Hayom Katsar v'amlacha meruba, Ubal Habayis Dofek, you know, Poalim Atzelim. We're sometimes a little not as hardworking as we can be. So anyway, that is the Rambam's Bechol Drachacha Da'ehu v'hu Yashar Chosecha. So God willing, next week, Chanukah, we're going to skip a drop ahead, with your permission, to Derecha Derecheinom V'chol Nesivosei Hashalom, because there's a special connection to the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah we just have to talk about in that context, as the Rambam quotes that Pasuk in finishing off Hilchos Chanukah. Obviously, Chanukah, you know, might have been a time where we, like, you know, put a disproportionate emphasis on military, you know, Rabim Biad Ma'atim and all that. The Rambam makes sure that we, you know, don't make that mistake. Okay, so we'll hold it up there.